Welcome to the podcast, Keep It Simple. Join our hosts, Tom LeComp and Gavin Durson, as they discuss the joys and challenges of being the simple church in a complex world.
Well, hey, welcome to Keep It Simple podcast. I'm Gavin Durson.
I'm Tom LeComp.
And this is a podcast where we like to discuss issues related to the simple house church or organic church. I don't know if you would, I guess you could say movement that's happening. Tom and I have been a part of simple churches for some time, and although it still feels like I'm just learning, Tom's been involved with this sort of thing longer than me. But if you're new to the podcast, we encourage you to go back and listen to some of our previous ones, and you'll kind of get caught up. There's more of us talking than you'll ever care to hear. But today I wanted to introduce a topic, Tom, and I'm kind of interested to hear your thoughts about this. Something that God has been doing in my life the last few years, I think, is really helping me to rethink and understand the role of the imagination and creativity in the life of a Christian. And I guess there has been a couple of things in particular that have really been instrumental in me helping me think through some of this. And you can Google this and look these talks up if you like. But there was a conference held a while back called, the title of the conference was called Baptizing the Imagination. Hmm. And it was about the role of creativity and the imagination in the body of Christ. And it was not a simple church or organic church kind of podcast, but here was one of the, I guess, one of the things that I re-listened to this recently. My wife and I were talking about this, but the conversation that came up is that creative people, creative types of people that are, you know, I guess not always artistic or musical or nature, but a lot of times that's how that gets expressed, you know, through the arts. That a lot of those folks have been shunned or turned off by the church because maybe because we tend to take more of a practical approach to things, you know, like their music is only good in so much as it says Jesus 50 times in the lyrics of the song, or their artistic poster is, their artwork is great so in so much as it draws people to the event that it's promoting on the poster or something of this nature. You know, we have a kind of a utilitarian approach to the Christian life in general. And sometimes that, I think, has forced the artistic type of person to feel a little bit marginalized. And when it comes to the body of Christ, they don't really feel like the church is a place for them. And you see some changes in that, and you see churches trying to, I think, be more artsy. Sometimes it's, again, you know, they'll incorporate drama into their church service, but again, sometimes that is maybe the main, it's a lot of times it's just a footnote to the sermon, you know, to give the real meat. This is like an to be an illustration, like an illustration sermon. Yeah. It's not just to be appreciated for the art that it is. And I'm not completely in that crowd, although I do think that there's something there to that. But all of that to say this, the one of the comments made in these teachings was that the question was, well, what is the church to do? How are we to become more inclusive to creative types of people and creativity in general? Whether, you know, I think some, you know, what would that look like? And one of the suggestions was, well, maybe having highly, you know, the more skilled musicians and artists, let them be more a part of the worship team, the music, and the production in churches, so that when an artist comes to a church, they are not having to basically like bite their tongue and just be like repulsed by the low quality of artistic expression that's coming from the stage in the church. And I thought that was an interesting kind of conclusion. And I know there's a lot of people that think that way, and I probably have thought that way. The idea, I guess, that we need to be excellent, you know, and that in, yeah, if we're going to do music, then it needs to be excellent, and we need to get the most excellent musicians to do it, so that the other musicians, when they come there, will say, hey, this is a place for me. Or if we're going to do drama, then we need to get the best actor. I don't even think people much really are into drama or poetry or visual, you know, a lot of times. Maybe video work is a big one now, you know. So if we're going to show a video, then we need to do the best video possible so that creatives will come here and say, wow, they value creativity. They value video. Look at that video that they put together. And so I'm interested, what are your thoughts about that? Because we're advocating and we're talking about in this podcast what might the church in this century look like as God moves forward. And we are suggesting here, I think, that one avenue that God's church is going to take, and one thing that we believe and we're advocating, is that a church where there's not even a stage or a sound system or, you know, to produce a theater from, or to produce music, or, you know, I guess these talks, which I've really benefited from a lot, again, we're coming from more of the traditional church approach that says there is a stage, there is a band, there is a performance. And so we need to get the highly creative people involved in those performances as one way to reach out to them and let them see that the church is for them.
Right.
And so there were some other things that they discussed as well, but I'm kind of interested, and my wife and I were talking about what is our answer to that? What, as we think about the creative people out there, what does a artistic person who, or a painter, or someone who's very gifted in writing poetry or playing the guitar? And I've had this happen where I don't know how gifted, you know, necessarily some of these people are, but they come and they say, "Well, man, I just really love like being in the worship band." You know, so I don't know what, you know, I love the idea of Simple Church, but I just love being in this band and leading worship, you know. Yeah. So what I've just kind of thrown this on you today, and you've not had much time to think this through.
Right,
but I'd be interested in some of your thoughts. What are some of your thoughts about this, and what is our answer, and how do you see the arts and artistic expression and creativity being recaptured in the church, as it really, specifically the Simple Church?
Well, I have several thoughts just off the top of my head, not having prepared much for this, but a couple of things come to mind. I think if we look to Jesus, Jesus was both excellent in what he did, and he was creative in what he did. If you read the parables, even the Sermon on the Mount, and everything that he taught verbally, it was done very well. I mean, it astonished the people. You know, what kind of a man is this that he speaks with such authority? That doesn't have to be boring. He did it in such a way that, you know, they listened and it got their attention. And the parables that he told, very creative, very, very interesting, and very real. I mean, the parable of the sower. Well, yeah, I know how to do that. I know how to sow seed. Everybody does that. But he did it in such a way that, you know, he contrasts the four different types of soil. And, oh, yeah, cool. Also, you look at Jesus. Jesus was, and God himself was really huge on object lessons. I mean, the whole Passover meal was a big object lesson, not just to remind the people of Israel of how God delivered them, but it was a foreshadowing of how Jesus was going to deliver us all. So object lessons, parables, teaching. We don't know much about the music that they did, but, you know, we looked at David's life. His work was very creative. So where am I going with this? How do we use those principles in a living room as you gather to worship or around the table?
Or in the skate park.
I've seen your skating, and man, you are an artist, man. You're such the way you shred. But I think it's our attitude towards what we do as we participate and as we share what we know about Christ. If we're leading a Bible study in our home, you know, don't just do it dryly and say, let's read the passage, let's answer some questions, and what are your thoughts and comments. But, you know, make it creative. Tell a story. Show a video clip. Encourage them to draw a picture or have painting. Yeah. like you mentioned, the music. Encourage your musicians. You know, share, man. Play the music. Come up with something creative. You know, original. You know, there's lots of ways we can do this. I love movies. I love cinema. And I was given a seminar at a camp once, and we were talking about art. And I asked them, you know, if you were to watch a movie that was like, you know, an evangelical movie where the guy is usually a preacher, and he comes, you know, they bring this situation where this guy's at the end of his rope, and he meets this preacher, and the preacher preaches the gospel to him in the movie, and he accepts the Lord. You know, that's an okay story. But what about if you see a scene from a movie that kind of describes the same thing, but not as in-your-face, overtly preachy? The one example I use for that is, this is an old movie from the 80s, The Mission. Have you ever seen that one? Robert De Niro?
I've not.
And
I've heard about him.
Yeah. There's a scene in that movie where Robert De Niro is the he was a mercenary scoundrel, and you know, he was up against what was his name? Jeremy Irons was the Jesuit priest. To make a long story short, Robert De Niro, the bad soldier, repents and wants to follow the priest and follow Jesus. And there's this one story where he's doing his own penance. He makes up his own penance. This is a Catholic kind of way to look at it, but still very powerful picture of redemption. I'll put the link on the video so you can watch it, or on the website so you can watch the clip. But he makes up his own penance, and his penance is he has like 100 pounds of armor. This is back in the 1600s. He's got all this metal armor, and he puts it in a net, and he carries it up this mountain to up the mountain to preach to these Indians in South America. And it's difficult. He almost loses it. And finally, he gets to the top. Well, anyway, I'm not going to spoil it. Watch the video clip, and if you don't cry for that after watching that, then you're not human. But to me, that is a more powerful story of redemption than some of these more overt, you know, preach the gospel Christian, quote, Christian movies. So I use that as an example of creativity.
So I think, here's some thoughts I have about it. You know, I think that, one, as it relates specifically to the question of music, you know, I really do believe that when Christians, when we can begin to start thinking of ourselves, like maybe if we'd like to be in a worship, like a playing a band, then when we can become people that are maybe intentionally looking for outlets to play in a band in situations that are not just for Christian people per se in a church meeting, I think that we're going to see the increase, our increase in relationships with the unbelieving world is going to go up. And not that these guys aren't doing that, but if you imagine the time and energy put into worship practice and band practice that a lot of these folks do so that it can be excellent, if that was directed towards playing in other venues or whatnot, this is an approach that could be very good and very helpful and very engaging to the culture at large. I think that my wife has been writing some poetry, and I've really appreciated her just being willing to share some of those in some of our skate church meetings, you know, just to read the poem. Sometimes even listening to music, it could be, you know, so many times I think we think we'll say a song if it's not explicitly talking about Jesus, or for example, a classical song or a song that does not have words, like, well, that's not a Christian song or whatnot. But those kinds of works of art can oftentimes, like, really speak God through our imagination. God can use that to really connect with us. I think so many times we think, well, we've got to do all this, and the answer has to be black and white in this moment. But I think sometimes what stories and visuals and things like this can do, and in a house church situation, there's an incredible amount of flexibility that I don't know that we always take advantage of. I mean, you can share these things. You can bring these things to the table and let other people ponder on them, or let there be a song played that You know, it's okay if it's a cliffhanger and people need to go away and think about it the rest of the week, and not there's not this like nice tidy little conclusion of what that song is saying. You know, those types of things can stimulate our imaginations, and God can interact with us through that experience, I think, even as we leave. These are some of the things as I've thought about it, you know, I don't know, some of the thoughts I've had about it, because I do think that by and large we stifle the Christian imagination in a lot of what we do as quote unquote the church. And I think that quite frankly it's so easy in house church too to just fall into routine. The one thing that we have an advantage in that is that we can be flexible, we can be spontaneous, we can be spur of the moment, we can change course if we need to that day. We can be open to other people contributing in ways that maybe they haven't been had the opportunity to contribute before. You know, someone in your simple church may play the violin or play the flute or some song. It's like, when are they going to, you know, they've never been asked maybe to just play the violin by themselves. Well, they could do that this week in a house church setting, and it may not really point, you know, there may not be a clear, concise reason or message that comes from that, you know, as far as the words, but if they have the opportunity to use that musical gift and share it with the body of Christ, I think that there could be some things God could do there. I don't want to get too, like, you know, like artsy talking here, like I think there's something lost there, that I think the house church actually is positioned, simple church folks are actually really positioned to embrace the arts and creativity in ways that maybe the traditional church can't. I mean, for a lot of people, you know, you'd have to audition, you'd have to be a part of the group, you have to go to practice five times a week just to be able to share a work of art, you know. Yeah. Songs, I mean, I think that there's an incredible opportunity for simple churches to make up songs, to write new songs, for people in those simple churches to write songs, and then boom, be able to have an opportunity to share those with the body almost instantly, you know, and to build up the church that very next week with a song that God put on their heart, you know. Those are all things I would love and pray that in this movement that it can really, maybe we can grow in those things, and we don't just fall into these patterns just like, you know, it's easy to do and just do the same things we do every week. Yeah, yeah. And not let creativity kind of have a place in what we're doing as the church.
Well, I think excellence and art are married. We serve a creative God, and if we're not seeing God's creativity in the creation and in how he's made us, and if we're not exuding that when we get together, whether it's a song or a painting, or it doesn't have to be an artistic medium, it could be, you know, in a sense of humor or yeah. in a story, or how you tell a story, how you relate to scriptures. I think that's going to be creative, and I think it's going to be excellent if we really have our mind in the game, if we're really having that relationship with Christ. It's going to be creative, it's going to be excellent.
Yeah, I think for me, well, you know, just on a personal note, some of the things that God's been doing in my mind, like, for, we've joked before here, for those that are may new, I've oftentimes made up these really kind of goofy rap songs, and I've always enjoyed, like, being creative and doing fun things, whether it was when I was the mascot at UK or doing the, like I said, the music. I've got a couple of other quote-unquote characters that sometimes kind of show up on various talk shows and things around town, and anybody who knows me knows I like doing creative things, having fun.
So you come across as a serious guy.
This topic I'm sharing. But one of the things that really was encouraging to me as I started thinking about a lot of these things, I think that we have such a tendency to divide things up from like secular and sacred. And if this song or this thing does not directly point to a Bible verse, then it's somehow useless in the kingdom of God. You know, and I don't believe that anymore. I think at one time there's a temptation to believe that. And something that's like a funny song that may not necessarily directly or overtly point to Jesus, if it's not anti-Jesus, then it's probably pro-Jesus, you know. And there's a fine line there, and that can be debatable at times. But I think so many times we're worried that, you know, especially even as the church, and that there's these rules, like if the song doesn't say this or the art doesn't do this, then we can't show it because somebody might get upset. Well, in Simple Church, we don't have to worry about that. If somebody, God's given someone, I mean, we do
somebody's going to get upset.
Well, but we have the opportunity to deal with it on a personal level. And if somebody's in your group that's, you know, one thing I recently, there's been a guy in our Simple Church who, you know, he told me that he was really, one of his life dreams was to, he takes pictures a lot of nature and things.
Yeah.
And he kind of let it out one time that it was like one of his dreams in life to do a show. And so myself and some others, we made that, we were able to make that dream come true for him. And it's been awesome to watch this guy like come to life, you know. And his pictures are not, there's nothing, I mean, a lot of people say, well, there's nothing Christian about doing a photography exhibit. Well, yeah, but if you're taking a picture of a mountain that God created, I think that in of itself glorifies God. It may not be a Bible verse to it, and I don't even, you know, I'm not even 100% sure this guy's motive in taking that picture, but there is something about it, him stepping out there and just saying, I see something here. I'm not sure exactly what it is. I want to share it with people. I think God's using his pictures in his life. And I think he's using it in other people's lives. And that would not show up on the on a calendar for a church, maybe necessarily like a church event or something that's a mission, or it's just encouraging this guy to be artistic and encouraging other people, hey, come check out this guy's pictures, or hey, why don't you bring your pictures and share them with us here today? Because that's obviously something in you is stirring about taking these photos, and we care about you. And God, what God's doing in your life, we believe that. So share those with us, and we'd like to see those because maybe it's for us too, you know. And maybe there's something there, you know. Or my goofy songs, you know. I've tried to be more comfortable with sharing those because sometimes it's somewhat embarrassing. It's like, well, this song's just silly. It doesn't really have any really seemingly eternal significance in the traditional way of thinking.
It's fun to be silly.
But if it brings joy to someone, or in a sarcastic way, maybe causes someone to think about something that they haven't thought about, then I think, you know, God's using all of that, you know. So I hope that we can be a group. I hope the Simple Church, the organic church movement, can really maybe even be at the forefront of encouraging creativity and artistry. And it's not going to necessarily look like putting people on a stage in our living room, but maybe it could look like putting people on a stage in our community and showing up for it at the public theater or at the coffee shop or at the art gallery, or sharing in the confines of the Simple Church, giving people an opportunity who may never have the opportunity or even feel the permission to share their creative works or what God's doing in their heart in creative ways, that we can do that in our living rooms. We can do that at the park or wherever it is we gather, and the church can bless that and offer critique and support and encouragement. And so I hope that happens.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to recommend an institutional brick-and-mortar church in Louisville, Kentucky, that I think has really done well in melding, in injecting or infusing creativity in all that they do, and at the same time keeping it godly and real and solid and, you know, close to the scriptures. And if you're in the Louisville area and you want to visit, it's called Sojourn Community Church. Look on the websites, but they it's a, you know, traditional church where they have music and preaching, but they do their own music. You know, they have their own band, and they cut their own CDs, and the pictures on the wall are paintings from their own members, and, you know, they incorporate poetry, and, you know, they have these events and everything. So check that out, and use what you can out of that. And I went to school with their pastor, and Daniel, you're welcome for the plug, and so check that out.
All right. Well, hey, that's a wrap. Thanks for joining us today, and I pray that you guys will maybe be spurred on to think about how to be more creative and use your imaginations and embrace your imagination when it comes to making disciples and gathering as a church. I'm Gavin Durson.
I'm Tom LeComp.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Keep It Simple.
You've been listening to Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to the idea of being the church in simple ways. Find us on the web at keepitsimplepodcast.com, That's keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook at Keep It Simple, a Simple Church Podcast, or you can find us on iTunes. We welcome your feedback and your prayers.